You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight on LA Talk Radio, Empowered Communication Radio Show. My name is Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and director of the Dr. Pat Allen Want Institute. We're so fortunate tonight to have myself and Patricia Eltage available to answer your relationship questions. The call-in number for the show will be 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. When you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back to be connected to the show. Please make sure you pick up the callback and enter this number in your phone contact list to avoid going to spam. So tonight, as I said, we have Patricia Eltage and myself on. Patricia, are you available?
I'm here for you and all you out there.
Hopefully we had a few callers last week that were really good. Hopefully they'll call us back with an update. Again, that's 323-203-0815. Do you have any subjects of interest you want to talk about with the audience tonight?
Well, yes, I had some some of my gals called in. It was a kind of a rough week for a lot of people. And here's one. They're miserable in my relationship. Should I leave? And, well, we always say that you should stay until you cannot stay, because it's worth investigating to the point that then if there's two reasons why you should leave: when there's physical violence, or you're getting physically ill or emotionally ill by being with that person, then you're losing you. And sometimes I say to people, go to a 12-step meeting, which Codependence Anonymous, if you're staying in an abusive relationship, you need support besides us. We're there for you. You can always call the office and try to work things out. But if you're getting ill or it's abuse, then we have to rethink it.
What about a lot of times the ladies, they're just so angry at him for not doing things to make them happy. And somehow they want to change him into stepping up. What would you say about that? They think it would all be great if he would just stop doing what he did.
Well, those are what you teach, and what we all teach is the tools of communication. This is Empowered Communication Radio Show. So we teach communication tools that help you see if we can get him to not do what is causing you pain or angst or emotional imbalance. So with using the tools, come up with, Sue, you have people in your groups, and they say, here's a good one. When they want to change, here's a good one right here. When they say, what do I do if my guy stares at other women?
Yes, that's a big one.
Yeah, that's a big one. But
and they say, he can't do that. He shouldn't do that around me.
Well, guess what? Men, look, it's generally because his eyes are doing what he's created to do. You ladies need to understand that men are designed to operate visually. We operate out of our ears. Men are visual. It's like looking at a pretty picture. I would recommend that you go as long as it doesn't, if he ends up falling in his soup because he's looking, or if he's doing it for too long, excuse me, then you say here's a tool for that. Honey, I really appreciate that you enjoyed looking at that pretty girl, but I really felt neglected and abandoned when you stopped talking to me and turned your back on me and paid special attention to her. Now, that's a tool because you were in the middle of a sentence, or you were talking, or something that was going on between you, and it was disrupted. Then you have a reason to tell him how it affected you. That's coming from your feelings, right, Sue?
Yeah, that's correct. Remember, he has a right to do what he does. We don't have a right to make him wrong for doing it, but we do have a right to tell him how it makes us feel. We're feeling centered.
So however, Yeah. Go ahead.
So I teach my ladies in my ladies group how to use these tools. It usually takes about 2 months for them to understand it because they're still processing on the old way they used to operate with communication and it, still haggling, but they do get it and they do understand. And it's really eye-opening and it's great to see how they suddenly see the difference on the way they used to be in the new them.
Mm-hmm. But to reiterate, looking at a woman, a glance at another woman, is there's nothing immoral or illegal about that. And you have to just grow up and know that that's what men were designed to do, use their eyes to look at things.
Yes, that's true. Another big one is, gosh, let me think, because I get a lot of women, they've had trauma in the past, so they want to bring it to the next guy for him to understand. And, you know, it's kind of like they don't, but if a woman has a lot of trauma and she brings it to the next relationship and she plays the victim and makes him responsible for her chaotic attitude, it will usually push him away. And a lot of people think, well, he doesn't understand me. What would you say about that?
I would say you call the office and have Sue hook you up with me to have a life script done. And we work and do, and I do trauma work. And I have a book that gets deep into that too. My book is called The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself. But we've got to work out your own issues and not lay your unresolved issues on him.
Yes, that's true. And a lot of people do the, I have a hard time where people mind read. They assume he's mad. They assume he's pissed. They assume he's doing this on purpose. They assume. You don't know until you physically ask him, are you angry? Are you upset? You know, they mind read. And we don't communicate mind reading. I don't teach mind reading and how to mind read. So that mind reading can get you in a lot of trouble and assuming.
Well, it's also meaning you're operating out of your head, which is your masculine entity. Your masculine energy is when you're wrapped up in your head and thinking of reasons why you want to bomb this. So you get into your feeling centeredness. That is where your feminine resides.
Let's talk about self-sabotage. You know, a lot of women,
okay.
That's a big one that comes up and people don't really understand it because you think you're in control of your actions, but sometimes subconsciously you do things to ruin good things in your life. And we do it on a subconscious basis. Can you explain how that operates? Because I know a lot of people do it and they don't see themselves do it. That's why it's called subconscious behavior.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's, I really get into the subconscious. So here's one where people, a lady says, oh, well, I think I'm going to just end it with this so-and-so because I think he's dating somebody else. Well, we've already established, first of all, you went on a 2 or 3 dates and he's not married. So he's not married, darling, and he's open game. You date him and you date other people too. Everybody's dating until they decide to partner.
That's true. A lot of women think that after 1 or 2 dates, they could start negotiating, you know, what he has to do and where he wants them to take them. And I said, no, you don't do that till you're in an exclusive relationship. Dating is getting to know a person, not sitting there negotiating what he has to do for you. That's a dangerous, slippery slope. He should know, you know, I want to go here. I told him I wanted to do this.
There you go. Again, you want to get the number? Give him the number, Sue?
Yeah, so let's have some callers. We went through a couple of topics. If you have a good topic. Oh, we have a caller. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for us?
Hi, yes, I do. I pretty much live with my boyfriend and I haven't been working. And so he was paying everything and food and everything. And I'm going to start working pretty soon. I think I'm going to get a job offer. And so we're negotiating how much to pay. So I was just wondering, how do I negotiate that, like, respectfully? Like, I'm comfortable doing like around 20%, like 80-20% as a girlfriend.
Well, that's what you bring up. you bring up what you're comfortable contributing. That's a perfect way to do it, by percentages. Usually people talk about how much one person makes and the other person makes. And if they make 80% more money than you, then they would pay 80% more towards the bills.
Okay.
How much money, what do you know what the difference is in your take home?
Yeah, he makes more than me.
But do you know the percentage?
I don't.
Well, you're saying, okay, well, that's why it's called a negotiation. So you ask him what he thinks of. You can first offer, if 20% is your comfort level, you can tell him, start with that, and he may negotiate higher. But you can first start to, if it comes down to it, you can say, did you share how much you make with him, and does he share how much he makes with you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, then you see what the difference is percentage-wise.
Okay.
And usually,
when we first started dating, I said that I'd be comfortable doing like 70-30, but that's like if we're married. And so I just don't feel like that's fair if I'm just a girlfriend right now.
Okay, well, you tell him that. That's what you've put out there on the negotiating table. But first, Sue, will you want to tell her how to make the appointment?
You'd make it you would just say, honey, I have something I want to talk to you about regarding our finances and my contributing to the household finances. Is this a good time? And then,
okay.
You are living with him?
Yeah, like I'll go to my parents' house if like we're fighting or something. And so like I'll go over there every once in a while. But for the most part, I do live here. And he gave me a promise ring and everything.
I need to back up a little bit. Did he ask you to contribute?
Yes.
And okay, did you ask him how much he was thinking or what was his number?
Yeah, well, he started really low and then it kept like going up because they offered me a little bit more money. But I guess that's why.
Well, are you comfortable with what he offered for you to pay?
I'm comfortable with, like, I don't know if that's being a stickler, but like $30 less, because I'm going to have to buy my own parking spot because our parking here is just.
Well, then what you're telling us right now, tell him you want to do $30 less because you got to buy your own parking thing.
Okay.
So kind of go with his flow, because now I didn't hear all the information, but what I'm hearing is you're not living with him. So
she is living with him, except for when she gets mad at him. She stays at her parents. She doesn't have her own apartment.
Yeah.
And he asked you to contribute and you have a promise ring. So you would ask him, because maybe he was cost too much for you and you may not be able to afford him. That might be a deal breaker too, because you don't want to get stuck in a relationship where he wants you to pay this dollar amount, but you can't, and you'd be working your butt off. So you have to find out what he's comfortable, because we don't want him to keep badgering you too on you're not paying enough. It can go both ways.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's called a negotiation.
Okay. Yeah, I feel comfortable paying like $30 less than he said, and then I'm going to buy my own parking spot, and that costs $100. So.
Okay, then you would go in and say, I have something I want to talk to you about regarding our budget and me contributing. Okay. Is this a good time? And then you say, I love the amount that you gave me. I love that we negotiated. The amount you gave me, da-da-da, would be nice, but how about if I give you $30 less because I have to pay for my parking? What do you think about that?
Okay.
Because you're negotiating that you like his dollar amount, but it's just $30 too much because you have to pay for your parking. That was the reason.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then he won't think you're trying to slide one over him and get, you've got a reason why you can't pay that much. And then guess what? See how that budget goes. And you know what? Maybe you can't fit. Maybe you can't pay him that much every month. It's too tight. Mm-hmm. You may have to go in and negotiate again.
Right. And because I'm going to do a working interview. And so, I mean, they said a certain amount, but they could change it after the
interview. That's what I mean. And maybe a bill comes up for you that was unexpected and you can't, you've got that obligation. Things change. Right. We we say go in every 3 months to renegotiate. So just because you give them a dollar amount now doesn't mean it's got to be for the rest of your time there.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good question. Very good question. Yeah. People negotiating. That's what we help people with their relationship agreement page. And that is found in Dr. Pat Allen's book, Getting to I Do, Chapter 14. You can do it yourselves, or you can get help from us on how to negotiate time, space, money, and play, and all those subcategories under those headings: my time, your time, our time, space, time, space, my space, your space, our space, money, my money, your money, our money. You discuss money issues. So you're at that phase right now where you're negotiating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now we have that available. Yeah, we have that available on our website under drpatallen.com. There's a video you can watch that goes over the negotiation. Maybe you both should watch it and see if you can get, and if you can't work with it, Patricia can help you do it. But usually if you get an idea, it helps you guide you a little bit on what to expect. And if you're having a hard time doing it, Patricia can help you negotiate. Sometimes it gets tricky and people fight about it. So you need a mediator there so that somebody doesn't overrun the show.
That way it's not a fight. It's just a simple, rational negotiation when you have a third party helping you.
Yeah. Your best, even if you go in and watch that part, that's because you're going to have to do, like Patricia said, time, space, money, and play. There's going to be time. You want to go out with your girlfriends and he's going to want to go out with the guy friends. So that's good to negotiate how many days a week he wants to go out with the guys and how many days a week you want to go out with the girls, so that you're not him and he's not mad at you. Because then it goes, you always go out with your guys, so I'm going to go out with my girl. Then it becomes a battle.
Right.
So you negotiate. I want to go out with my girlfriends 2 days a week, and you list the days. And if you have to change those days, you go in and renegotiate. My girlfriends can't meet Friday. Can I meet them on Wednesday this week? But you have to make it very pinpoint. You cannot just say, I want to go out with my girlfriends 3 times a month. It's got to be what days and from what time. It's got to be pinpoint.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What if I'm planning a trip with my girlfriends? I just let them know ahead of time, like, oh, I'm thinking to plan a trip with my girlfriend.
Well, that would be something you would negotiate to see what he thinks about it, because, you know,
before you set it in stone. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he may see you as a couple. Would you want him to go take guy trips every week?
Yeah, no, that's true. Like when he was talking about going on a trip and he wanted me to bring my friend because his friend is going. So.
Okay. Well, I mean, everybody has both has different points of view. So what you think might be good for you may not be good for him. So go in and ask what he thinks about, hey, my girlfriends and I want to plan a girls trip for three or four days. What do you think? We're planning on doing it this, and see what he thinks about it. And if he says, well, no, I wanted to take you on a trip, then he might trump your girlfriends.
Okay.
That's part of being in a relationship here. You give up your freedom.
I know, yeah.
I know, a lot of women don't. Well, they want to go out with their girlfriends and have a relationship, but the guys don't want to sit home by themselves.
I know, that's what I did when I was in my 30s.
I know, it's
here. My boyfriend hated me. They hated me.
I know.
But I stopped doing it.
You know what? And it's the same with guys. They pick girls and then they want to go be single too. And the girls are stuck at home. So when you commit to a relationship, that's your partner.
Right.
Not to say you have to be stuck on the side, but you do negotiate. And, you know, you do need to have your eye time. Everybody needs eye time.
Right. Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. That's a big one with, I get a lot of my ladies. Mm-hmm. They want to be in a relationship, but they want to go to parties with guys and other girls. And I'm like, wait a minute. You gave up your independence. because, you know, you don't get to just go to parties with other single people and expect your partner to be there. That's what you give up.
Well, that's a big thing that women have to understand. And men need to understand that, too, that we women are giving up a lot of independence. And what they are giving up, what the men are giving up, is sexual variety.
Yes.
So everybody has to give up something in a committed relationship.
Now, I have a couple of older women in my group, and they're, you know, she's doing very well meeting older men, but she's finding that she meets them, and then finds little parts of them she doesn't like. So then she breaks up, but then she wants them 3 months later.
I know. You know what?
The anxious attachment style.
The second coming of Jesus has not happened. The second coming of the Messiah has not happened.
When you're younger, you look for, to find a partner to have kids with. When you're older, what are you looking for?
You're looking for companionship, compatibility, somebody who's on the same page as you. You enjoy the same type of things, and you have some commonality in lifestyle. That's what's important as you get older. We're not partnering to make babies. Yes. We're partnering to have a nice companion, have companionship.
So when older people, companionship, most of them, it seems the guys want the women more, and the women are okay being single, but the guys, they require a lot. And I'm hearing my women, they don't want to be their nurse or to deal with all, their stupidness. Mm-hmm. And if that's worth it, they're thinking, well, why do I want,
Rethink it. Well, many women rethink it. That's accurate. And some women, after a certain age, and they've been married, they've had kids or whatever, and they don't necessarily want to, after trying to go out and date all these people, and the men want to, a lot of times the women, older women, are mature women, let's call them mature women over 50, that they are in better condition than a man of their age or a little older. And not that everybody is falling apart, but a lot of times women are still interested in going and doing things and having fun. And there are some men who want to sit home in the easy chair and in front of the TV, and the women don't want to do that. But by dating and not being prematurely bonded by having sex, then you find this out. You will find out by dating them without having sex what their idea is for lifestyle.
Well, and some of my ladies are older, and they feel they're getting guiltified. They call it guiltified, where the men come up and say, well, you said you wanted a partner, and now you want to go and do all this stuff, and you only want to see me part-time. We're not getting any younger. Why don't we, we want to move, get together and enjoy the last days of our lives.
Well, that's negotiable. What you think is a nice balance in life, and what he thinks is his idea of a life, that's where you start negotiating. That's where I come in all the time and do these relationship agreements, because you can negotiate that. And if it's that's when we decide, once we get in the negotiating ring, I call it, then we can see where there are particular, each person only gets one or two non-negotiables. And if it's too many non-negotiables that you're not compatible.
Yes, because if one person has to bend to make you happy, they're going to be resentful and not happy.
Well, they can acquiesce to a point.
You can acquiesce to a point, but if you're sacrificing your own wants and not your own wants for the sake of somebody else, it will show up. That's called tolerating. That will show up later.
You decide if that's worth it to you to, so you state, you have to know yourself. First of all, I teach people to meditate and do all kinds of little exercises I give them to really get in themselves so they can know who they are and what they, how they view a good life or a lifestyle. Yeah. And once they know what they think is, or how they feel, what would make them feel good coming from their feminine, their feeling centeredness, then the man presents what he's offering. And darlings out there listening, we have the veto rights. We can always say no. We can say, no, that wouldn't work for me. I appreciate what you're offering me. However, I need X amount of days, a month, or whatever is your sweet spot to visit family and girlfriends that's on your own, and go to the gym and go to yoga and whatever, your hiking group or whatever it is. You have to know that in yourself, what is your happiness in life. Yeah. And then you see if the two of you can meet somewhere in that.
Yeah. The one lady, she likes traveling, but yet every guy she meets is not a traveler. And I said, maybe you need to find a man that likes traveling so you're not incompatible, because they all just want to run around and watch TV. I go, I can't negotiate that too much.
Then you put, when you're out there on the dating apps, or if you meet them in the market or wherever, you find say out. That on the first date, first I'm a date. Travel buff. I'm a travel buff. What about you? What are your thoughts on traveling? You ask them.
Yes. Yes. The same thing with marriage. I have a lot of women that go out on dates and they want to be married, but they're afraid to ask the man if he wants to ever be married. That's something you have to ask on the first couple of dates so you don't waste your time.
You need to, this is investigating. Dating is due diligence. It's investigating and it's due diligence in the legal terms. We're doing due diligence on both sides. And so give the number again, Sue.
323-203-0815. Callers, if you're out there and listening, please give us a call. If you're not available to call in or you're afraid to call in, you could always send me an email at the office and I'll read your question on the radio and you can listen to the archives. These are all recorded and they're available on LA Talk Radio in the archive section.
Do you want to give the WAN Institute?
It's info@drpatallen.com. info@drpatallen.com. You can email me there for any information. I operate a drop-in ladies group on Mondays and Thursday nights. Patricia does life scripts, couples counseling, and she's a dream interpreter. Talk about your dream interpretation.
That gets deep. That gets into your subconscious when you start doing the dream work. With my book, again, is called The Dream Class by me, Patricia L. Tinge. ELTINGE. And your dreams are the direct link to your subconscious mind. So I teach you, and people get very proficient at it. I have people who've been with me for many, many years who are just amazing how they are able to make their decisions in life quicker when they start understanding their dreams. And we have people with PTSD and getting over relationships. They really, really do well when I start getting into their dream life with them, because it helps unravel. When I do the life scripts in conjunction with the dream work, it really helps you unravel some of your unresolved issues.
Now, one thing I know, and I've always heard it with Dr. Allen, the steps to growth. Yeah. I forget the exact words.
It's really 4 years. The first year is is finding a few things out, learning what, digging in a little bit. But the depth of your personal growth, and that's what I specialize in, is your personal growth. And how that really can take 4 years of concentrated work and learning. And it really does help when you are in relationships, even if this is not the relationship for all time.
Yeah.
There's a beginning and a middle and an end to everything. Even if you're with somebody for 30 years, somebody's going to die or somebody goes away. But when you're in the ring, if you're in a relationship, we can do some of the deepest work, because that's when your stuff that is unresolved appears. It comes up in relationships.
Now, a lot of times, and I know it's hard to face facts, because, you know, I tell them you have to want to change and you have to look within at what needs to be changed and you have to process and do the changing, you know, and my ladies come back and I do my best, but then they get mad and then they stop and drop. And what that does is it resorts you right back to step one. You forget all of your learning because you don't practice it to move forward. So when you take a course on self-help, you got to take it to the end, or you just resort back to what's comfortable. So
accountable. Yes. Yeah, you're accountable to somebody to keep teaching you when you're missing the mark of what comes out your mouth and your attitudes and your behaviors. In order to change a behavior, which is also the way you speak, and it also is how you react. So we teach rational communication, which is feel your feelings, run it through your head before you speak or act. That's called feel, think, act. That's directly comes from transactional analysis.
Yes. And a lot of people feel, react, and then think later.
And that is not a good recipe.
I said, yes, that's what we're trying to help you not do. You have to watch what you do. Take it slow, because, you know, you're in charge of, I'm only the teacher. You're in charge of the work. And if you do the work, you get positive results. It's a painful lesson to do some of these lessons, but it's very rewarding because it pays off in the end. That's all I could say. You grow, and you grow to be a better person. The better person, you find the better man for you, rather than sticking with the same pattern of the unavailable man and the men that you're a doormat to, and so and so and so. So it is a lesson, you know. So I do have the ladies groups. If you want information, you can reach me at the office and I'll send you the Zoom link. And if you want Patricia Elton's services, you can reach me at the office and I'll forward you the information to Patricia. So again, call-in number is 323-203-0815. Any of you callers that have called before, do you want to do a follow-up or just check in, please feel free to call. We always love to hear from you. And Dr. Allen, I know a lot of people ask about Dr. Allen. She's still alive and kicking. She has a little hard time hearing, so she's not able to hear the callers on the radio. So it gets a little diluted with her giving the information. So she is still available. She does ladies groups, but the groups are closed because the current ladies rejoin every month. So I never have any open spaces, but she is still out there available and teaching. And me and Patricia, and we have Andy Shaw available, we're carrying on to help people as well. So there still are services by Dr. Pat Allen's work.
That's it. Sue's been around forever, and I've been working directly with Dr. Pat for 30 years, and I've taught seminars with her and traveled together and weekend retreats. So we're just, come on down, as they say on the game shows.
we'll do our best. And, you know, sometimes my ladies, they might get mad at what I say, but they always come back and they understand what I said that they didn't like, and they appreciate it. Sometimes it's hard to hear, But when you do hear the information, you do grow, and it is rewarding. I have a lot of ladies that it was amazing how they've grown in a year. And then I have some that haven't grown. So it's all on how much you want to put into it.
So I have a lot of guy clients too. Then I'm going to tell you something. There's a guy just says, I'm a guy who just wants to get laid. And so does that make me a bad guy? And you know what? No, it doesn't make you a bad guy. That's what the male of the species was designed to propagate the planet. Mm-hmm. But it would be good, and we recommend that you let the ladies know what your goals are. For example, I'm not interested in a long-term relationship, but I really find you attractive and I want to play with you. And that way you can decide if you want to play or if you don't want to get sexually bonded with somebody. If you're looking for a relationship, then he's not the guy. But guys out there, that's fair to say. And there are some girls who just want to play.
Yes, that's true. And that's why we have the women ask for the entrance fee. If you want a relationship, find out where his intentions are. Don't have free sex hoping that you're thinking or hoping that you'll get into a relationship. Find out where he's heading and find out where you're heading before you consummate anything so that you don't get bonded to him. Mm-hmm. And we teach you how to do that too. And it's not game, and it's not withholding, and it's not game playing. It's negotiating. All men pretty much want sex. That's their number one priority. Some women want sex too, and that's all right if you want to do hookups. But a lot of women think that when they give sex, you're in an automatic relationship. That's not assumed, and it would be best to find out his intentions before you have sex, just for your benefit. Don't think you can change him after he has you, because that very seldom never works.
Oh, speaking of change, here I've got one too. What? But that my partner is a slob. Should I keep trying to change him? Well, that all comes from what we talk about: time, space, money, and play. That comes under space. Our space. Can you hear me?
Oh, you were cutting off in and out. Yeah. If he was a slob, you would have known that when you first met him.
Yeah. Start negotiating that before you move in together.
Yes. You know, whatever you see, that person is, you better either like or negotiate. Don't try to change it later because you get fed up with it. That's who he was when he met you. And I don't think he's going to change. He might change, it may not change. And they usually say, I've been doing this for 10 years and now you want me to change?
That's not going to fly.
I have to flag the women. You knew what he was like. So you have to take responsibility. Mm-hmm. So yes, that is true. So let's see, what else? What other topics did you want to talk about?
Well, let's see. Some people say, why can't I get over my ex?
Yes.
Well, you got to do the work. Do you know when you break up with somebody that you've been sexually bonded with, it can take up to 2 years, and that's with work, by the way, to debond or to be able to move on. So that's one of the main reasons why we suggest that you wait on sex until you know that you want to be partnered with that person long term, meaning socially and sexually monogamous, going towards long-term commitment or possible marriage, whatever your level of commitment is that you're requiring or that you want to aim for. Because women, the female of the species, bonds with sex. And that's just science. So men don't bond with sex, other than men sometimes over 50 can tend to bond with sex because they're at a different time of their life and their hormones are changing. Women over 50 can sometimes get away with not bonding so easily, but that's iffy. Mm-hmm. So when you have an ex that you're still not over and nobody else looks good, you're bonded. So that's why we duty date. Mm-hmm. Duty date, you were chemically bonded, so you have to keep going out there and smelling other men. Mm-hmm. To see if you just desensitize, you gradually, incrementally desensitize to being out there in the world, seeing other men.
Mm-hmm. I get a lot of women, they get a relationship that suddenly fails and then they're done. I'm done with dating for a while. And I tell I say, that's not advisable, but I understand. It's almost like they throw in the towel, but what they actually do is they resort back and then they go into the man hating because one guy dissed them and then they're right back to step one. Just keep on the horse and plowing through. It's work. If one guy disappoints you, you keep going until you find another guy because now you know what you don't want. You don't want another guy like that guy you had.
Well, that's right. You learned that. That was a lesson learned. Each lesson, if you stay in a relationship till you can't stay anymore, then you won't repeat that particular lesson. Yes. You will get a better lesson.
Yes. It's all
but
about.
But it's always going to be a lesson.
But you know what? The women I have, they want to bail prematurely. And I said, if you do that, you're going to repeat it. Because you haven't taken it to the end. And they fight me to take it to the end. I just want to leave. I don't even want to talk to him anymore. I said, you're just going to do it to the next guy. And then I make him do the work. There's different steps we teach you to do to end it. So you both can go your own way and you learn what you don't want and what you want in a relationship from that bad relationship. Every relationship will teach you a lesson. How long you stayed, it could be a week, it could be a month, it could be years. You will always learn a lesson. So the next one is hopefully better. That's our goal.
Now, what talks about in Back to the Book, which everyone should own, Getting to I Do, by the way, found
which
on Amazon.
Which is on Audible now, too. It's available on Audible and book.
But what's more importantly is the book itself, because I have people who have this book for years and they have their pages marked with post-its sticking out and the different, because it's a reference book.
Yes.
And that's the beauty of it. And we're talking about these phases, don't prematurely abort a relationship because there are four distinct phases in the relationship. The first phase is the perfect phase.
Yeah.
And that's why you need to know somebody a year before you get married or engaged. So the perfect phase is about the first 3 months. Everybody is rosy. Then there's the imperfect phase. That's when you start noticing the warts and the imperfections. And then that's about 3 months. And then after 6 months, or sometimes before, you're like 4 to 6 months, you're starting to negotiate things like time, space, money, and play, and find out if they're a slob and all these things. And then after that, that's why four seasons. Then there's the commitment phase. Now, mm-hmm. some people at least commit for the first part while they are going through these phases, just to make a commitment that they're going towards it.
Mm-hmm.
But then there may be some non-negotiables that make it not work. But you have to try to get through all these phases.
And even if you negotiate something in the first 3 months, you can see flaws that you're not comfortable with in the 3 to 6 months, and you can mm-hmm. still fall out just because you committed, in the perfect phase. That's why mm-hmm. we don't get married for a year. You do not know the person for a full year. And a lot mm-hmm. of people, I've seen people that do it in 3 months because they're all in love and it doesn't turn out well. at all.
No sooner, up to even 9 months. Sometimes when people are older, 9 months is...
Yeah, 9 months is...
If they've been negotiating from the beginning, yeah. It depends on how much they've been negotiating the different areas of life. And that's the beauty of that.
That's true. So with every relationship, you learn something. There was something else I was going to ask, and then I got sidetracked. It was about women. You know, Dr. Allen says men are to cherish women's feelings. They are to cherish women's feelings, but they cherish them the way they want to cherish. I get a lot of women say, well, isn't he supposed to cherish my feelings? They want him to cherish their feelings, and they use that as a, well, he needs to cherish my feelings. And I say, he cherishes them his way. He may not be a feeling cherisher, and that's what you're finding out. So it isn't that all men are trained to cherish your feelings. That's what you find out while you're dating. If he does
cherish. But you let them know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You could say that's when you let them know if something hurts and that doesn't feel good. Then they get used to what, and then you commend them and praise them for when something does feel good.
I get a lot of women going, well, you don't cherish my feelings. Well, he's cherishing them the best he can, but maybe not enough to what you expect. So that might be a deal breaker, because you may want him to cherish this much and he's okay doing it this much. That's still a tight, an iffy thing where women want me to teach them how to get men to cherish their feelings. He'll cherish them by you saying that does not feel good. Mm-hmm. That's how you teach men what hurts and what doesn't hurt. You stroke them for the nice strokes. And if they do things that hurt your feelings, you say, ouch, that hurt my feelings. What about not doing that anymore? And then he kind of learns by trial and error what hurts and not. You're supposed to cherish my feelings, and scolding him. And another thing, women that want to, I call it the mothering, you know, what Dr. Allen talks about, don't take care of men's feelings when men are sick and stuff. And these women, I get them all the time. Well, I want him to know I care about him. So I ask him how he's feeling. And if I, you know, when he's sick or something, oh,
well, sick is okay.
Yeah.
Well, if he's
sick. You're feeling okay? Oh, do you want me to bring you anything? I say, don't do that.
That's okay if they're sick. Personally, if somebody is sick, that's when you can care for them. But don't ask them for their feelings when they're just like making a sandwich in the kitchen. And they have a look on their face, and you go, what's that look? What are you feeling?
Well, I think, though, that there's a borderline when men get sick, they overcompensate and start mothering because they think they want to make the man like them more. So I say, be careful when you start praising men when they're sick. They're grown men. You could say, is there anything I can do to help you? And then
but you ask them if they need anything.
Yeah, because when I give them the approval, they go overboard.
Ask them if they need, you're there for them if they need.
Yes. If a man needs your help, you say, is there anything I could do to help you? That will dissolve it. And he knows you're there needed. So if he needs you to take him to the hospital or go get medicine, you've asked. So you don't start taking care of him to turn him into little boys. That's borderline on mother. And then you won't like it when they expect it. Whatever you start in the relationship carries on. If you're too mothering to a man in the beginning, you're going to be mothering him throughout the relationship because that's what you set up. Yeah. So you have to keep your main preference role. If you want to be masculine or feminine, don't switch back and forth too much because you'll confuse the other one and you need one masculine and one feminine energy in a relationship to make it dance smoothly, complementing each other.
Yes. Complementary.
If you start
forces.
Going too masculine, you're going to have a fight. And what about this thing where all of the men say, I want a smart, brilliant, strong woman. All the women want to fit that role. I go, most men want that, but then when they get her, they don't like her.
Well, they can get that, but this is a tricky dance because an alpha man does want an alpha woman, and those two, I help people all the time negotiate their dance because a businesswoman, but she wants to be primarily the feminine energy in the relationship. Yeah. And the old line from Dr. Pat is, hang your plastic balls up at the office door when you leave, which means relationship at home with your partner. Yeah. He leads, and he will defer to you many times because he knows you're capable. So then he would say, oh, will you handle this and make these reservations? Because I know you know how to do that with the airlines and such. Yeah. And she goes, of course I will. So yeah. You can do the dance and still be live in integrity and be your authentic self, but let him still lead.
Yeah, we run out of time now, so we're going to have to say goodbye. Hopefully you'll come back next week. So thank you for joining us tonight, everybody, and hope we'll be back next week. Patricia, do you want to say anything?
Yes, the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the contracts and commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Goodbye, everybody. We'll see you next Thursday.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.